Morning, Body of Christ.
Morning.
At the pier. I'm going to share with you this morning some things that are going on. I'm the executive director at Set Free Ministries. Anyone know about Set Free? I'm that guy. We have an amazing team of about 50 volunteers at Set Free. We minister to people at no cost. We'll spend a whole day with you, and we'll help you break your chains. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
So, and we've trained, 20-plus people have been trained here. And you guys are going to be chain breakers.
Amen.
It's starting. We had a meeting actually this last week with Bob from Providence and with Wayne. And we're talking about how we're going to equip and get you guys ready to be chain breakers yourself. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being in a room watching Jesus set captives free. Y'all know the mission of Jesus? I call it the mission statement of Jesus. It's Luke 4:18. Now, if you read Luke 4, and you don't have to do that right now, but if you read it, it says, the Spirit of God led Jesus in the wilderness. So it was God's idea that Jesus should go be alone to be with his papa, his Abba. Who shows up? Satan shows up. Now, Jesus is about 30 years old. And up until now, you've heard nice stories about Jesus. He's teaching in the temple at age 12. There's not a whole lot going on. But when it's his time to become a minister, and when it's a time for his anointing to be shared with the world, there's opposition.
Yeah.
Yes? It will be the same with you. It says the God of this world holds the world captive. Think of that. The whole world is held captive. How many people in the world? 7 billion plus, yes? Do you know how many captives are out of the 7 billion? Do you know how many known captives there are currently? A lot. That's correct, there's a lot. They figure about 5.5 billion are still captive to the enemy. Their eyes cannot see, their ears have not heard. Who is God going to use to set captives free?
Us.
Very good. If I had a sucker, I'd throw it at you. It's us. It's you. And it's going to be the same thing that Jesus experienced. When he's going to be used powerfully by God, there will be opposition. There will be an enemy trying to push you back. There's going to be an enemy that's going to try to make you fear. Talk about 2020.
Hello.
2020, the year of fear. Fear, fear, fear. Hold it. Time out. I'm a man of faith. What are we fearing? I don't fear death. Death is an upgrade. Right? Death is an upgrade. Why would I fear death? Who's numbered my days?
God.
Can one of them be taken away without his permission?
No.
I'm good. Now I can live fearlessly as a man of faith, bringing faith, hope, and love to all who need it. Yes? Not only in West Michigan, but globally. We go around the world. In fact, when I was teaching here in March, I taught for 7 weeks, and then I had to go to Africa. We went to Africa, got to Uganda. We were there one day, and COVID, the monster called COVID, the fear, the hysteria, clamped down on Uganda. And it was ridiculous. It was amazing what happened worldwide. Not just in America, it's worldwide. The plane, when we landed in Uganda, we were 55 minutes from a 14-day quarantine. We just squeaked in. When we left, the stewardess says, well, you're the lucky ones. And we're like, what does that mean? That's the last plane to leave Uganda.
Oh my.
I would still be there. Hadn't we been on that plane? So the Lord had this little tight sandwich for us to meet and to encourage, and to encourage the people of Uganda, where we've started 17 Christian schools, where we have 5,000 orphans that we care for and poor. And we're building a high school there for them that will service 2,000. That all began in 2005 when we went to preach in a little teeny church called Glory of Christ in Rakai, Uganda, where half the people in front of us had AIDS and were dying. Half. 95% unemployment, 50% AIDS rates. And you think you have it bad. That's bad, yes? And as we taught on the principles of freedom and breaking chains, guess who sat in front of us? 42 children sat in front of us, hands folded, not a peep. Nobody caring for them. No moms, no dads, just 42 kids in the front row. We're teaching on spiritual warfare. And these kids are 5, 6, and 7. So finally I went to the pastor. I said, can you explain this? And he was very embarrassed. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. I says, why are you embarrassed? He says, oh, I knew you would catch me. I said, catch you at what? He says, when we made the signs that Set Free was coming to give the conference, he says, I put on the sign, we will have free lunch served for all who attend. Why were the children there?
For food.
For a cup of porridge, 8 ounces. And it was bad. 8 ounce cup of porridge is why they came. And my heart broke. I went out in the banana grove and I cried. I couldn't stop crying. I'm like, oh, what's going on with me? What's going on with me? I couldn't help but get the looks of the orphan child out of my, Psalm 6, out of my mind. Psalm 68, verse 5, I am a father to the fatherless. I'm a defender of widows and holy habitation. I will set the lonely, the captives, and families. Couldn't get that out of my mind. Pure and faultless religion is to do what? Bingo. You want to find the heart of God? You want to be in the center of God's will? He's already told you what it is. You going to do it? Or not? It's risky. There's a high risk. It's not pleasant. It can be dangerous. Yep. That's true. But we're men and women of faith, right? We have eternal life, yes? Then let's behave that way. Let's carry on our lives that way and bring faith, hope, and love to those who have none. So here's what I said to the pastor. I says, I see you have 42 orphans. What are you going to do about them? He goes, I am poor. I says, let me propose to you, you might be lazy. He was not happy with that comment. I says, because you're telling me right now, you're excusing yourself from helping the 42 children. You're giving me an excuse of why you will not engage. I says, let me tell you what you have. And let me tell you what we all have. We all have this. We have time, we have talent, and we have treasure. How will you spend that in your lifetime? And I heard it put this way, and I kind of grinned when I heard it. You want to prove yourself a Christian? Show me your checkbook and show me your calendar. and we'll see.
Oh.
Ouch. Ouch. What are you doing to grow his kingdom? What are you doing to spend time, talent, and treasure to set captives free? Are you engaged, home and abroad? What's the Great Commission? Who said that? Go make disciples. Is it a suggestion or a command?
A command.
It's not the great suggestion, right? It's the Great Commission. Go make disciples. Yes? Will you? Have you? Good question. Here's what's been burning in me since March. As I'm watching America burn, and our cities are on fire, and I'm watching all the hate and all the rage, here's what's on my heart. Those young people do not know Christ. Whose fail?
We have.
It's us. Seriously. We have failed in our God-given role to go make disciples. We have. So, what happens when we make mistakes and when we fail? We have a very loving Papa. And what does he require of us? Uh-huh. But to do that, we might have to repent from the error of our ways. Yes? When's the first time you saw a loving father, a loving heavenly father, love on rebellious children? When was the first time we saw that? Garden of Eden. And who was there to suggest some of the religious activities? Satan. Satan's number one tool in the world to deceive the masses is religion. Don't forget that. Is it true? How many billion people follow Islam? Over a billion. Going on 2 billion. How about Hindus? How many Hindus are there in the world? Over a billion. There's 3 billion right there. And then you start to put in all the other world religions. Who's in charge of world religions? Who's the guy behind the scenes? Who's the Wizard of Oz behind that? It's Satan. Anything but Christ. Right? Because Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. That's what he said, yes? Okay. So that's what he said. So your opinion doesn't count. Fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Truth is intolerant. That's why people hate us. Are you willing to pay that price for truth? You're going to have to decide that right now, because the day is coming, and it's soon here. It is here. Where you will be hated without reason. They hated me without reason, so they will hate you without reason. Who said that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus Christ. Jesus' first sermon on that Luke 4 event where Satan, for 40 days and 40 nights, buffeted him. How did Satan challenge Jesus? Three different ways. It'll be the same with you. Three ways you're challenged by your enemy, and you better know your enemy, because he is tenacious to destroy and to deceive you and to distract you so that you will be discouraged. Don't forget that, the four D's. Satan wants to bring division to your home, to your marriage, and to your assembly. He loves division. Do you see it going on in the USA today? You think? Division. Spirits of division. Spirits that deceive. A half-truth is a whole lie. How much lying is going on your local TV stations? How about news? How about newspapers? How much lying is going on? Lots of lying. So division, deception, and distraction from the real thing. What's the real thing going on today? What's the real thing going on in the USA today that needs attention? Can we dare say human trafficking? Do we dare say it? There's tens of thousands of children being kidnapped and raped today, right now. They say Grand Rapids is one of the main hubs. We've helped several human trafficking victims in the past 6 months at Set Free. 4 D's, division, deception, distraction will bring discouragement. You will feel discouraged. Any of you feeling discouraged? Yes? That's spiritual warfare, people. You better understand what's happening. The enemy is hammering us as a nation. He's behind it. Do you know where I learned those 4 D's from? A satanic high priest who left the occult, and we had her pull her motorhome up to the side of our home in 1999. And we spent over 1,000 hours ministering to her. Who thinks that would be fun? That is not fun.
And the outcome?
The outcome. Saved, set free, child of God.
Woo-hoo!
Still today. With those thousands of hours that we spent deprogramming her mind and walking her through all the people who had raped her for all those 30 years of life, hundreds of rapes. And she'd say they'd put us on planes and bring us to DeVos. I'm like, DeVos? I'm thinking DeVos. I'm like, DeVos would never do. No, DeVos. You don't know what's going on, do you? I said, no, I don't. Clue me in. She says, they put us on planes and they bring us to DeVos, Switzerland. What's DeVos, Switzerland? What goes on there? G2 summits. The world's elite businessmen go there to plan how they're going to make money for the next few years. Guys like Epstein fly their planes there. There is a real battle going on for the soul of America right now. And I'm telling you, the names that I heard 20 years ago are the names I now see on TV. They're involved. And I'll tell you something else disturbing. When Fauci started lying and started retracting some of his statements and going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, I just typed in Fauci photos. And there he was standing with about 4 of those guys at one of their big meetings. I'm just telling you, be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what's happening. I'm going to take you back to Luke 4, Jesus. 3 temptations of the enemy. This is how he will tempt you. The first was temptation of the flesh. How about we have some bread? I know you're hungry. How about we turn these stones into bread? Man shall not live by bread alone. So the enemy knows how to tempt. He will tempt in your flesh. Be aware of that. The next one is the world. I have all these cities. You can have them. How is the enemy able to give you cities unless he owns them? Here, Jesus, you can have the world's wealth with all of the wealth of all of the cities, and you don't even have to suffer. I will hand them to you. You don't even have to go to the cross. They're yours because there's mine to give. The God of this world, they're mine to give. That's why money is not the root of evil, but the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Yes? Envy, greed. Rockefeller, how much do you need? I just need a little bit more. He was a multi-billionaire in the 1800s. I just need a little bit more. Envy rots the bones. Protesters were out this week screaming in affluent neighborhoods saying, give us your homes. You owe us. What is that? Is that not envy? Is that not sinful? Can we call it what it is? We should. God determines what sin is. Your opinion does not count. Fair? Yes. Even know how is the rule of law. Yes?
Yes?
Okay. Do we know this enough to even know how to realize what's happening to us? My people perish for lack of knowledge. The church today is in dire, dire straits because she doesn't know the book. She doesn't know the word. I heard a thing one time, a preacher was preaching with a Bible all beat up, similar to this. He says, if your Bible don't look like this, your life does. All beat up. We got to get into the Word, because the Word is truth and truth sets captives free. Amen?
Amen.
If you can't know how to navigate someone out of the darkness and into the light, then the enemy is going to take over with human reason and logic. And that's what's happening today. We were once a nation based upon the principles of In God We Trust, and we were a Judaic Christian nation. Amen? What's happening right now is that is being eroded. And it's been eroded since 1963 when they took prayer out of Christian schools. And in 1963, you can look at everything start to implode. You can watch the divorce rate skyrocket. You can watch sexual immorality skyrocket. At that time, only 20% of the black community had divorce rates. And in the white suburban communities, it was 7 or 8%. Today, it's 50% for the white Caucasian affluent community. And in the black community, few are getting married anymore. It's just so sad to know that almost 8 out of 10 black children won't have a father to lead them. What do you call that in Scripture? That's an orphan. What's our responsibility? To care for orphans and widows in distress, yes? We have to start doing something about this as the people of faith, amen? Let's engage one at a time. My parents taught us well how to do that. I'll never forget 1967 race riots. I'll never forget them because the city was burning. As we went through the S-curve, the city was on fire. The National Guard was out. I remember. Do you know why I remember so well? Because we were going to pick up my black brother at Bethany, a little black child, and we're going to bring him home to Cutlerville. That was interesting.
Back then?
In Cutlerville, a black husband and wife tried to buy a home in Cutlerville. Guess who rallied around and gathered a whole bunch of money to buy that home so they couldn't live there? The neighborhood. It was quite racist, just 5 miles down the road. We lived in a racist community, it's true. That needs to change, yes? Does God care about your skin color?
No.
No, he doesn't. He created all the skin colors. Is that okay? Okay. What's the essence? What's the greatest command, according to Jesus? Greatest command. How about we just focus heart, soul, mind, strength? How about we just focus on that? And then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the bullseye. How many of us are hitting the bullseye? In the Christian faith, few. Why do I say that? Because Barna Research researches it. And Barna Research comes up with all these surveys of how biblically astute the church is today. What percent of the church in the USA today has a biblical worldview? What do you think? It's actually 6%. 94% do not have a biblical worldview. That means, here's what it means, 67% of Americans in churches today believe that Satan is not real. Huh? Would that be a problem if you're in warfare?
Yes.
That would be a problem. The enemy does not exist. It's the greatest plan ever. If the enemy doesn't exist, then I'm good. Who needs armor? Who needs helmets? Who needs shields? I don't. I'm good. The enemy doesn't exist. Your belief system does not impact reality. Fair? I had a warlock come from Chicago. He was pretty mad at me because someone from his coven got set free when she came to set free, and he was mad. And he wanted to find out who the hooligan was that was involved in this, and it was me. So he came. He was very curious. He actually was curious to know that there was a greater power than the one he served, and he wanted to know about who I was and who this Jesus was, and let's have a conversation. So he comes into Set Free's office a number of years ago, and he sits down, and he throws this blurb out. I don't believe in God. And I said, and I don't believe in gravity. So there. He goes, what? I says, that's kind of a foolish statement, isn't it? He goes, absolutely. I says, so here's my question. Does my belief system change reality, yes or no? He goes, not at all. I said, correct. Neither does yours. He goes, touche. All of a sudden, we could have a conversation. Your belief system, your opinion means nothing when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has determined truth, yes? 4 hours later, he accepted Christ. He's dead today. He died. He's in glory. Amazing. Are you willing to get in the trenches and set captives free? One at a time. I keep coming back to Luke 4. I'm going to get there. We're back at Luke 4, the temptations, right? Temptations of the flesh. You're going to want to appease the flesh. And then the envy thing. Hey, I'll give you whatever you want. Just go ahead and take it. You shall have no other gods before me. That's what that is. Idolatry. The enemy wants you to have an idol in front of God so that he can afflict you because you have violated the great command. Sin is missing the mark. Do you believe that? The enemy, a place of operation.
Do you believe that? I'll give you a good example. I do this in jail. Can I use you as an example? Okay, so here's my brother. He has hidden sin, and his hidden sin is he just is, he's angry at quite a few people. But nobody would know that because he's such a nice guy. So that's his hidden sin. Now, according to Ephesians 4, don't let the sun go down in your anger lest you give the devil a place of operation. You just settle down. So now I'm the devil and I have a place of operation. He's a good Christian guy, but he's given me, the enemy, a place of operation. Now, I happen to be 285 and you ain't. That means there's a little bit of physics working here. Watch this. You see how that works? Because I have way more strength and I have more bulk than this man. But he gave me permission, right? And now he's not doing okay. In fact, he's tormented most of the time. Welcome to spiritual warfare. The enemy had the right to do that to him because he gave it to him. That's because my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, take that one reality. How many people are angry today? Does the enemy not have a right to use them as pawns? Yes or no? Absolutely. He absolutely has the right to use them as pawns. And that's what's happening in our nation right now. That's why our cities are burning. Do you have compassion on those captives who are burning our cities? What are we going to do about it? Because we know the rules. And we know what's happening. The last temptation of Jesus, just worship me. Just do it my way. Just do it my way. Do you know what mantra that fit? 1960s. Do as thou wilt. Who knows who said that, do as thou wilt? Who is that? That's Aleister Crowley. He's the father of Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner did it. Hugh Hefner, if it feels good, do it. I'm doing that. And Hugh Hefner started the sexual revolution along with Kinsey, who was a homosexual. And all of a sudden, the sexual revolution took off in the 60s. That's when I was born. And I started asking my mom and dad why men and women were swimming together with no clothes on at Woodstock. I couldn't figure that out. Like, what's up with this? Do you see what was happening even 50 years ago? What happened because of do as thou wilt? Do as thou wilt. If it feels good, do it. What happened when the sexual revolution came and the USA did very little to stop it, and porn became the purge of our nation, and we embraced it. And now we have sexual promiscuity. I'll tell you what happened. It's Proverbs 5, if you want to look at it. Proverbs 5, the lips of an adulteress drip honey. Her feet lead to the grave. No man who touches her will go unpunished. Her feet lead to hell. You will lend your ears to the cruel one. That's what it says. Who's right? That's what you're going to see. Absolute, complete destruction come to a nation. Is that not what's happening to us right now? How many children are dead because of that foolishness from the 1960s? How many children have lost their lives to the pleasures of fornication and sexual sin? Because that's really what it is. Let's call it what it is. I don't want to get married. I just want to have my girl. I just want to have my guy, and I want to do my thing. What's the cost? 60 million children have been butchered in their mother's wombs. And this nation allowed it. Where does the blood go? Tell me where the blood goes. It goes into the drains of all the hospitals. Where does that water go? Tell me where it goes. It goes into the rivers. And where do the rivers go? They flood our land. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There was a righteous man named Abel, and God heard what? The cries of innocent blood coming from the ground. What does that sound like to God right now? What does that sound like? And then all of the children who are underground right now being raped, they're finding them now underground. And you know why I believe it? Because the girl that we helped 20 years ago talked about the tunnels. That's why I believe it. And then I heard the story again and again and again and again and again. From multiple witnesses, from multiple states, from all over this land, and they're still calling set free. Please help me. I want to get out. How do you get hundreds of crazy people not to say the same things? Is that mathematically probable? No, it is not. That means it's a reality. What you're going to be reading about and hearing about soon, and you're already seeing it, is you're seeing these children being set free. And you're hearing their stories. Jeffrey Epstein, anyone know him? He's dead. But he had a place called Pedophile Island. Yes? Do you know how many congressmen and politicians and former presidents and Hollywood elites were on his plane? Do you know how many? Why don't you look it up? Why don't you find out who was on his plane? And why don't you start finding out what's really going on in the world today? It ain't pretty. But we are children of light, yes? Okay. Then we should not be overcome. Why? Why should we not be overcome? What did Jesus say? I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid, for I have overcome the world. That's a true statement. You want to see joy? You want to see excitement? You want to see faith, hope, and love? Help one of them. We'll train you. They're all around us. They're all around us. Captives everywhere. Captives everywhere. Mission statement of Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights getting him. We're back to Luke 4. 40 days and 40 nights. Three temptations. Satan's trying to distract him. He's trying to get him off the mark. He's trying to get him to grab a hold of wealth. And it's like, nope. I got a mission to do from my Heavenly Father, and I'm going to announce it in Nazareth. He gets to a synagogue in Nazareth. He opens the scroll of Isaiah 61. And here's what it says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the shattered hearted, the brokenhearted. He has sent me to open the eyes of the blind, back down, release the oppressed, and set captives free. He put the scroll back down. And here's what he said. Thus is fulfilled in your hearing. One verse out of Isaiah. Read it, memorize it. That's your mission. You know why I know it's your mission? Because the Holy Spirit anointing that was upon Jesus then came upon who? The disciples. And what did Jesus say as he was going to leave? Wait. Until what? Until the Holy Spirit power comes and anoints you to do what I have been doing. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the mission. The mission has not changed. The baton got handed to you, to us. Will you grab it? What's it going to cost you? It might cost your life. Who cares? My wife and I were blessed with 6 daughters when that woman and 15 grandchildren. When that woman was living at the side of our home, Sherry was pregnant with Esther. And here's the message they sent to us. She went on a trip to be a speaker at a conference. And I told her, you probably shouldn't do that yet. Because this group that hates you and hunts you is very dangerous. And you're alone and I don't think it's wise. And she says, I'm a woman of faith. I'm going. I said, still foolish. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. You're 1 by 1. Still foolish. Don't do it. She did it anyway. I went to pick her up at the airport 3 days later. Not on the plane. They had kidnapped her. And 3 days later, she called, can you come pick me up? I said, yep. Came, picked her up. She went to my wife that night and said, could you help me? I'm hurting. And removed her shirt, and they had burned her 100 times with clothes hangers, hot red clothes hangers. What message was that? And who was it for? It was for us. And here's what gave me great hope. Here's a woman that used to worship Satan. Satan has had her. And she told a story of being captive and being brutally assaulted. And all of a sudden, an angel of light showed up and said, follow me, and walked her right out of the place where she's being held captive, and nobody could do a thing about it. And she left. That's stuff you hear about in the Bible. Yes?
Yes.
Is that in the Bible? Where a guy was captive, and all of a sudden the doors opened, and he got set free, and then he went and knocked on another. Did that happen? Who'd that happen to? It's still happening today, people. And that woman's alive today. And that's her testimony. I got to be a part of that testimony, and Sherry and I did. I'm going to take one of your days. And there's no enemy that's going to take one of your days away. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you see what happens when you live by faith? Now, these are extreme stories. And they're real. Because the same God of yesterday is the same God today. Yes?
Yes.
He wants to use you to bring faith, hope, and love to another out here, outside these walls, to show them the love of God and the love of Christ. And who are the hands and feet of Jesus? It's you. It is you. You are the hands and feet of Christ. We want you equipped. Wayne is really on board. Wayne, your pastor came to set free and went through a freedom appointment. Who knows what that is? Freedom appointment. You come to set free, you spend a whole day there. And what do you do?
Set
I'll tell you what you do. You get the junk out of the trunk. That's what you do. Why do you do that? Why would Christians have to get the junk out of their trunk? They've been holding it in there. There's the man that has that secret. We hold it in. And here's your scripture for it. Hebrews 12. Hebrews was written to Christians, right? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us cut off the sin that so easily entangles. Let's get rid of all the heavy weights that hinder. Let's run that good race with our eyes fixed upon who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes? Get the junk out of the trunk. Let's get rid of the sin that so easily entangles, and let's go find the captives and set them free and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the most exciting thing you will ever do in your life, because God's in all of it. Those 42 kids that we helped, 2005, there's now 5,000. I was there in March, and I got to meet some of the 42 kids who were 5 years old when I said, you know what, I'm going to buy you shoes, I'm going to buy you a uniform, and I'm going to buy you a Christian school teacher. I can afford that. So I'm going to buy all that for you, and this man here, your pastor, he doesn't have any money, but he has time and he has talent. He is going to love you like a papa, and he's going to find all these orphan widows or all these widows who have been among you, whose husbands are died and have left you orphans. He's going to have them come. They're going to come, and they're going to be your mamas, and they're going to love on you. And so all of a sudden, there was faith, there was hope, and there was love at a beat-up old church called Glory of Christ in Rock High. And 42 kids were given faith, hope, and love. Do you know what happened after that? This is a really cool story, and I got to see it. Those 42 kids, all of them, sexually abused by who? Witch doctors. You got to understand, when you're in Africa, there's a witch doctor for every 11 people. When you get sick, you go to the witch doctor. He might give you some potion that will make you well, but before he makes you well, he will take advantage of you, no matter what age you are. How much anger and hurt and shame and guilt is stored in a child when they're abused that way? So part of what we had to do is teach the little children how to forgive their abusers and pray for your enemies and get set free spiritually, emotionally, to be set free physically. And then we had to feed the poor and care for them. Isaiah 58, read it. Read it. The fast that God has chosen to care for the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, and care for your own flesh and blood. That means those all around you. Then your light will break forth like dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. I will go before you and behind you. That's what I challenged that pastor with. I said, if you do this, I will guarantee that God's word is true, and you will see it in your lifetime. You will see it happen. God will do something so amazing here, you will even be astounded as to what he will do. And that's exactly what we saw. Because when those 42 kids were excited about life and they kept running through the streets of Rock Eye, Uganda, singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, they'd never seen children singing. There's death and destruction all around them. Half the people have AIDS. They're dying. But all of a sudden, the children were filled with faith, hope, and love, and it brought joy to the whole community. And guess what happened?
The joy spread
so much so that within, let me see, January we started, January, February, March, April, May. 5 months later, there was 1,000 children at that church. 1,000. I had to go find friends to help feed and clothe, because all of a sudden it was getting a little expensive. And the kids were coming from 10 miles away. They were so excited. We had to finally start doing schools every 3 and 4 miles. with 400 or 500 children. We put up 17 schools since 05. And schools was not even on the radar. But we watched God do it. We're currently, right now, building a new high school for 2,000. How cool is that? Here's the cool thing. I was back there in March to go visit some of the 42 kids I haven't seen since they were 5 and 6. And I met a man, a young man, in a hospital, and he had his surgical gown on. And he says, "Because of your love and compassion for us, I now am going to be the best surgeon in Uganda, and I will help many. Because I could read and write, and now I will be a doctor." And I got to tour his surgical facility. How fun is that? That's kind of fun. Went to another town, met a girl whose occupation is a teacher. And she's got her classroom, and she says, "What you gave to us, I will give to others the rest of my days. Thank you." Who gets the glory for that? Where did the church begin? What was the name of it? Glory of Christ. Correct. This is for the glory of Christ. That's just contagious Christianity, is what that is. And it can happen here at the pier. But before that happens, let's get prepared. Yes? Let's put off the old man. Let's put on the new man. What happens when you're going to sign up to be a U.S. Marine? I read this great big document, 10 pages long, and at the bottom I have to sign my name. And when I sign that X, what does it mean? I belong to them up until not been to boot camp. Am I ready for battle yet or not? No, I'm not, because I have not been to boot camp. But I have made my commitment unto death. My name is on that line. Correct. Think about Christianity that way. I'm in. I'm all in. I am all in. Now train me. Equip me. I am no longer a citizen. I am a soldier. Yes? Is that in the Bible? Say yes. It is. Look it up. You know how you look that up? This is amazing. No longer a citizen, but a soldier. Bingo. I don't even know the verse. You find it. It's there. Acting like soldiers. For who? Building God's kingdom. Destroying what? Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of Satan. Get a hold of that. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of Satan. Now, back in the day when I was a young man, I used to play middle linebacker for a semi-pro football team. I used to have to wreck all the plays of the offense, and I enjoyed doing so. I loved wrecking their plays. Who's the number one guy I'm after? As a middle linebacker, who am I after? The quarterback. He needs to die. He needs to have a broken arm because he is messing this game up, and they're winning. My job is to destroy their plans, right? God has made you an emissary, a soldier, to disrupt and destroy the plans of the enemy who has 5.5 billion people captive. We have a lot of work to do, yes?
Yes.
And we can do this. But let's do it in the proper order. Just like good soldiers, let's put off that old man. Let's put on that new man. Let's get equipped. Let's go make disciples. Let's do what Jesus said to do. Go make disciples. That's the great commission. It's not the great suggestion. And here's what made me sad when I'm watching our nation burn. And here's what the Lord reminded me of. You know, and it's just like, oh, them thugs. We can blame them. We can blame them all day long. But you tell me what you would be like without a father. Would you be angry? Would you be angry if your mama had 15 boyfriends before you were 10? Would you be angry? And why did she have 15 boyfriends? Because her daddy wasn't there to love her. And she's brokenhearted. And she's looking for love in all the wrong places. Do you see how this perpetuates? And we're the church, we have the answer. So let me tell you a personal story about the pier, and then I'll close. God knows I'm a bit of a blockhead. In other words, I need real life things in front of me for me to understand the lesson he's trying to teach me. Case in point, I got malaria in 2018 and I almost died twice. I'm laying on a deathbed in Spectrum, and 3 weeks later, I was laying on my deathbed up in Marquette Hospital in an ice bath, covered in ice with 104.5 temp with kidney failure. Wow. That's bad.
Are you scared?
Do you know what the Lord was trying to get me to understand? This is how all the kids in Africa die from malaria, and you don't even have a program. Ooh. You know what, Lord? I want to do something about that. And he gave me a verse right out of Scripture, and it was fascinating to me. Here's the verse. I will lift you out of the pit. I will set your feet upon the rock. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to live. And then I heard this impression. Pit. P-I-T. Understand it. I'm lifting you out of this pit of death, but I want you to have a pit program for the children. P-I-T. Prevention, identification, and treatment of malaria. These kids that are under your umbrella get malaria and die, and there's no prevention, there's no identification process, and there's no treatment. Fix it. Duly noted, sir. There's a PIT program in every school now. And you know what it's helping? It's not only helping the children. Do you know who it helps? The whole community. And guess who they don't go see?
The witch doctors.
The witch doctors. Duh. I had to learn that the hard way. And here's my peer story, and I'll close. 10 years ago, I'm guessing, maybe more, maybe 15, on a family vacation, I'm reading a book, Wild at Heart. Anyone read it? If you're a man, read it. You can read it if you're a woman, too, but... It's John Eldridge wrote a book, Wild at Heart. Men are different than women. Men rush into danger. Yeah, that's what we do. That's who we are. Everyone's running away, and we're running toward it. 9/11, the Twin Towers get hit. Who's running up the stairs? All the police and all the firemen. They're running into the danger to rescue those who are helpless out. That's what men do. They're geared for this. That's why most men go to war. And women, I agree. But for the most part, when you read the book, it's mostly men, let's just be honest. Because women are what? They're wonderful nurturers. And it's not that they can't go to war, it's most of the time they're raising our children to be who God would have them be. And I'm not against women in war, don't hear me wrong. So, wild at heart. I'm on the final pages and I'm like, yes, that's what men do. I'm like, yeah, that's good. Okay, what do I do now? Well, there's 10 to 14 foot waves out on South Haven Pier. In South Haven, the waves come over the pier. That's fun. Kinda. It's also dangerous. So I grabbed one of my daughters and I said, hey, let's go for a walk, not out on the pier, but let's get at least as close as we can and don't tell grandma or mom. So I brought my daughter and we're hand in hand and I watch a guy who's maybe 50 yards beyond me and the waves are getting dangerous. They're washing over the pier. He yells over the side of the pier, I'll go get help, and he runs. And he runs by me, and I'm like, what is going on? I can't see. So I get to the edge of the pier, and there's four people drowning. And they're going down, and they're coming up, and they're puking. They're bleeding because the waves are smashing them against the rocks and washing them back down. They cannot get up on the pier. If you know South Haven, it's all rocks. And these young kids were beat, and they were dying. And the guy just ran by me saying, I'll go get help. Do you think that's going to work?
No.
When will the help come? About 50 minutes. That's exactly when they showed up. The Coast Guard came out 50 minutes later, and they had a boat out there looking for the four. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? He said, do what you're made to do. You rescue the weak. And yes, it's dangerous. Hang on to the pier. Don't let go. And I ran out. And the waves were coming over the pier. And I found a ladder near the drowning victims. And I grabbed, you know, them orange ladders? Hang on. Don't let go. And when a 10-foot wave hits you and it goes 4 feet over your head, it's interesting. It's a death grip. And all I did, you know, all I did that day was encourage. All I did was encourage. If you get near me, I will grab you. Swim to me. If you get near me, I will help. The two boys who were with two girls started pushing the girls toward me, and they were in worse shape, and one was drowning. She was going down a long time, and then she'd come back up and throw up. They were best they could, they were pushing her toward me. There was a wave that came and washed her right close to me, and she had long hair. I grabbed her hair, and I just hung on. She screamed like a girl. It hurt. And she was not happy with me because it hurt so bad. And I said, it's the only thing I can do right now. And finally, I got an arm around her, and it took everything I could do to get her up on that stairs because I was exhausted, and she was not small. That's all I'm going to say. It was tough. And I got her up on the pier, and then there's three more. And then the other girl got close, and I grabbed her, and I got some clothing, and I hung on. And I pulled her up on the pier, and then the two boys, everyone was bleeding and crying, and we got in a circle, and they're like, thank you for saving our lives. And I'm like, whoa, that was an interesting day. And I never saw him again. And we left the pier. And I went back to the cottage. And my daughters are like, say four people. And my mother, who's a mother, safety mom. I got super safety mom. She says, what did you do? I said, we were out on the pier. And the waves are going up. She says, you're a fool. I said, no, I'm a man. I'm a warrior. And I do dangerous things, Mom. That's who I am. And I didn't have to get mad at her. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. Dean, you do this every day for people spiritually. It's messy. It's not controlled. It's dangerous. And if you've ever had a girl puke on you, and you can smell that, it's a little bit dirty. And it's okay, because that's the cost. Fair? God wants to use each of you for the captives out there. I pray that the pier becomes that place, a place of safety. Here's another thing the Lord showed me in that parable that he gave me. What would a religious man do in that setting? I'll tell you what a religious man would do. Here's what he would do. A religious man would go out to the pier, and here's what he would say to the four. You fools. Look at me. I obeyed the rules. The red flag is out, and you disobeyed. And the white buoys that said, do not go beyond. You disobeyed that, and now your lives are ruined. Have a nice day. That's who Jesus flipped tables with. He would flip a table on that guy because they did not love. Amen? Let's not be those guys. Let's have compassion on those who are lost and dying and drowning. And let's get in there and do something about it. Let's not tell them what they did wrong. Let's go love on them. And let's go get dirty. Let's pray. Abba, thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Jesus, thank you that you were one of these courageous men who loved well and set captives free. Thank you for the men who followed you and the women who followed you who were so tenacious and so courageous. Thank you for the woman at the cross who were there to watch you and to be with you while you were suffered. Thank you for Mary Magdalene. Thank you for all of them, Lord. We thank you for those Talmudim, those disciples who were even willing to die after you went back to heaven. Lord, we want to be like that. Would you send your Holy Spirit to us at the pier to become those people, to seek and save the lost, to bind up the wounded, and set captives free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.